Ezekiel Elliott. And he's got an opening. Elliott off to the races. Can they catch him? No, they can't. Touchdown.
Tie a three will win it. Sylvester for three. Oh! Oh! With 5.1 to go.
Here's Fields with time in the end zone.
A single season record of 14 set by Vernon Golston in 2000.
8 seconds to go. Kraft with Paolo defending. Now a switch off. He's got Niang on him with three. He better hurry. Puts up the shot. And he hits it with 0.2 seconds to go. Wow.
Inbounds Turner, left side of the backboard. Turner crossed the timeline, throws it from high on the right.
He hit it, Evan Turner. He hit it just inside of half court.
They go for the ball game. Touchdown, Michael Jenkins on fourth and one. Would you believe it? Craig Krenzel strikes with a minute and a half left. Holy Buckeye.
This is the Bunch of Nuts podcast featuring Dan Smith and Big Cass. Let's get nutty.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan here with Big Cass, and this week we've been kind of, you know, really waiting to finally preview the season now that the dust has settled. Cass, it's a pleasure as always. Let's get into it, man. I mean, just looking at the schedule, let's start with week one versus Nebraska.
I'll be there. Yeah, I'll be there. That's the exciting spot. I got the email that to be the production runner, a production runner for Fox Sports again. I'm pretty stoked about that. Get paid to watch the Buckeyes. I'm very, very happy about that. And we played Nebraska, and I'm trying to find the line for that game already, if they have one. I don't know. I'm going to look as we talk about this.
Yeah, so if you guys haven't listened already, on the Ohio versus Everyone podcast, we did a season preview, but kind of getting into the Nebraska game to start. When I'm looking at this one, I'm not too concerned really for the Buckeyes. What really concerns me is just the fact that they haven't had any live hitting. Because I mean, this week, literally today, was acclimation day for the Buckeyes in practice. They're just beginning to hit for the first time in, you know, months. So, you know, like we see with these other college football teams that haven't really been hitting, like LSU, Texas, all these teams that haven't been hitting, they've been giving up a lot of points. Now, do I think the Buckeyes give up a lot of points in Nebraska? Probably not, because here's the thing about the Buckeyes. That linebacking core, which we're going to get into, between Brandon Browning, Tuff Borland, Pete Werner, even, you know, we got Kayvon Pope, Taraja Mitchell, those guys can hit. So I'm not really concerned about them missing tackles. But
especially the news that was just broke today about Brandon Browning, how he got moved to outside linebacker to be the new Malik Harrison.
Yeah, and they have – so the way it's going to work, Pete Werner, he's going to be playing Will. He's going to be more like coverage base and all that. But then they will have – yeah, they're going to have basically Brandon Browning. They're going to be moving him almost into a position where, like, he's going to be rushing more too, from what even Chugs was saying last week on the podcast. So it's going to be – I think Nebraska, we match up well against them. The receivers, they don't really scare me that much. They got Wandale Robinson. He's explosive. He could come out of the backfield. They can motion him out of the backfield. They can make him – he could be a deep threat, but I think our corners will – like Sean Wade could easily match up with him, I think. Running backs don't scare me. Like Dedrick Mills, he's a good back, not a great back. I mean, he's a solid – like your most stereotypical middle-of-the-pack Big Ten running back. Nothing that's going to really, you know, give the defense fits or anything like that. the thing that really just concerns me is just Adrian Martinez running the ball. And if we're like, if our linebackers and defensive linemen are able to make the correct reads and wrap up, because if we don't wrap up, it's going to be a problem. But if our defense wraps up, I don't see that being an issue at all.
Yeah, I don't see either. You know, I'm looking at their, you know, the receivers now. I mean, they're off their roster right now, and what kills me it is Spellman's gone. Their big threat receiver is gone. He transferred, right? Spellman?
I believe he did. Yeah. Spellman.
And they got Wandale Robinson, who showed flashes last year against Ohio State. Didn't really do, you know, he had a couple big runs, but Pete Warner also popped him a good one. This team does not, the only team player that scares me is Adrian Martinez. And the thing with Adrian Martinez is, did he take that next step? Did he take that next step? Because he's a pretty decent quarterback. He can run. He's very mobile. He did throw three ill-advised picks last year against the Buckeyes. But his feet alone could be dangerous to the Buckeyes. If the linebackers, Pete Warner, you know, Tuff Borland and
Mitchell,
Baron Browning can keep contained and keep the pressure, and starting with the defensive line, they should have no problem with Nebraska. There is no line for this game already. I thought maybe they would have one, but I wouldn't see why it wouldn't be a double digit favorite against the Buckeyes.
I mean, the biggest question mark is, will Adrian Martinez make that next jump? His freshman year, he was great. Last year, he was good. He was a good quarterback, but he didn't elevate like we were expecting. Mm-hmm. Still had a very solid year. But it's just, the question is, which Adrian Martinez shows up for Nebraska? On the offensive side of the ball, that's where the Buckeyes are absolutely going to go off, I think, against this defense.
Yeah. I mean, my question is, this offensive line of Ohio State is probably one of the best in the country, led by Wyatt Davis and Josh Myers. And it's scary, especially when you got two solid tight ends and Luke Farrell and Jeremy Rucker, and then two solid backs. You're going to have a guy that's probably going to be very most explosive back in the Big Ten, and Trey Sermon, who could catch the ball out of the backfield. And then you're going to have a bulldozering running back in Master Teague, plus the best quarterback in the country in Justin Fields. Not only that, you can then Ohio State's going to rotate 10 receivers with, you know, leading by Garrett Wilson, who just got moved to the slot, and Chris Olave on the outside. And then you bring in a Cameron Babb, Jamison Williams, Amuki Cooper, Gee Scott Jr., Julian Fleming, Jackson Smith, Nigba. The list goes on and on and on for this wide receiver group. Tell me on this Nebraska team can stop this offense.
Like, all right, the one thing I will give Nebraska credit, their defense, they don't have a single underclassman on this defense. Like, literally, they're all juniors, redshirt juniors, or seniors. So I'll give them credit. They do have experience, that defense, but experience is not going to, like – it's just not – experience is great, but there's just too much talent in this Ohio State offense. Like you're saying, Cass, it's running back. You have literally Master Teague, Trey Sermon. That's a problem right there. Fields can run the ball. You have – we could go two tight end sets. Receivers are like 5-6 deep. Line might be the best Ohio State offensive line ever. It's nothing against Nebraska. And I'm looking forward to the day. I'm looking forward to, like, you know, talking to the fans on Twitter. But it's just, I don't see how they're going to shut down this offense.
Yeah, and this game is for me to see which of the tight ends can make that breakout. Can Jeremy Rucker, we know what he could do in the passing game. Can he make that step forward as a blocking tight, also blocking a dual threat tight end as a block? Can he start blocking? That's what I want to see. Can Luke Farrell crisp up his routes a little bit better? Because we know he can catch the ball and he can bulldoze a few people. This game is mainly to see what the freshman wide receivers could do, because we know what Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave can do. See what Trey Sermon can do. And, you know, we know what, and of course, obviously the defense of side the ball too, which, you know, I was texting you, yesterday. Mm-hmm. There's a guy that we fail to mention every time we talk about the defensive line, and that's Tyler Friday.
There is, and he had a – honestly, I don't know why he's not getting any love. It just might be – he's just flown under the radar. I don't know. And, like, at the end of last season, too, he was coming on very nicely. He made a very couple big plays in the playoff game against Clemson. He had a sack. I think he had another tackle for a loss. Like, he looked really good coming on into the end of the – coming on into the end of the season. So we'll see about Tyler Friday. I mean, I agree with you, Cass. He went to Don Bosco, very good high school, powerhouse in New Jersey. So Tyler Friday is absolutely a guy who we should be keeping an eye on.
As of right now, of what we don't – obviously what we do know, this is a 3-touchdown victory or plus, right?
Yeah. The only way this like could get a little funky is just if – they're not ready, the Buckeyes. Yeah. If Ryan Day does – like, the only way Nebraska keeps it close is if Ryan Day doesn't do his job and gets this team ready, which I am almost certain he will have them ready. So
– speaking of getting ready, they better be ready for week two, because they travel to Happy Valley to take on Penn State. Now, Penn State is without Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
With Micah Parsons, this is a, in my opinion, even with no crowd, I still think the Buckeyes win, but it's Penn State. It's right now the greatest rivalry for Ohio State, you know, the most competitive rivalry for Ohio State. I actually really can't say that, because Ohio State's, they've only beaten us once in this twice in this decade, 2011 and 2016. So really, they've kept it competitive against the Buckeyes. But without Micah Parsons, can Penn State stop Ohio State offense? And they don't have the wideout this year. And believe it or not, yes, Ohio State is 2-1 again in the wideout, but still, like, that atmosphere is ridiculous. And no, 3-2 in the wideout, I'm sorry. And without the crowd in the wideout, Ohio State should be able to be really good on offense against Penn State. Defensively, Sean Clifford's back, Journey Brown's back, but that's about it. They lost KJ Hamler, and they have the tight end. They have that tight end, the big tight end.
Freiermuth.
Yes. Yeah. So they have them three, no KJ Hamler, no deep threat guy against Ohio State's defense. Journey Brown's a stud, though.
Yeah. So let me get into this a little quick. I'm going to start, I guess, we'll start on the defensive side, Penn State's defensive side. That defense without Micah Parsons, it takes a hit. 100% takes a hit. But I'm going to give a shout-out to our dude, AP Aaron Pearson. He brought up a great point on Twitter yesterday. It was his replacement, Micah Parsons' placement, Brandon Smith, is a dude. And they're expecting big things out of him in Happy Valley. It's Brandon Smith, the sophomore linebacker, who's going to be, you know, replacing Micah Parsons. Anyway, Cass, you look at that defense still. It's still a pretty solid defense for the most part. Shaka Tony returns. Antonio Shelton, that's a solid defensive line. They still have Lamont Wade. We remember him last year talking all that smack. Actually played an awesome game last year against the Buckeyes. I think he forced, what, like 3 fumbles or something? Absurd. So, it was 2 or 3. It was something crazy for a defensive back. Like, even two forced fumbles against the Buckeyes is a great day.
And this is no knock on Penn State's defense. I think Micah Parsons brought that defense energy. We saw it. Like, throughout Big Ten, you're losing the best player on your football team. It's going to be a hit. Whether people don't – I love AP. Whether people don't believe it or not, when you lose a caliber player like Micah Parsons, Brandon Smith, how much playing time has he seen? That's the question.
That's
he may be a dude. What's the experience? He's going to have a big week one to get ready for Ohio State.
I think Brandon Smith's a little better in coverage. I mean, he has two career interceptions, but that's from 2016, looks like. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see. Like, it's he could be very good, but I'm not sure because I haven't really seen Brandon Smith play. I don't know. I don't. Unfortunately, we watch, you know, a lot, as much football as we can, but I'm not doing. I'm not watching Penn State backup linebackers going into this year when I'm assuming Micah Parsons is going to be their guy. So it could bode well. This is one thing I want to bring up, though, which does concern me. And I'm going to ask you this question. Do you think that because Penn State doesn't have that whiteout, is not going to have that, you know, that home field advantage, do you think the Buckeyes could be kind of walking into a trap game thinking, because think about it. They could be thinking like, oh, there's no crowd. There's no Micah Parsons. We got this one in the bag. And then suddenly we look and it's 17-3, middle of the third quarter. We can't get anything going on offense. And Penn State is, you know, looking really good. That's my concern.
If it was Urban Meyer, and this is no knock on Urban Meyer, if Urban Meyer was still the head coach, yes. This is Ryan Day. Ryan Day has a different feel when he's calling the games. He goes – if you have noticed in a Ryan Day football game, balls to the wall, pedal to the metal, does not stop. Even against the correct Wisconsin Badgers in the Big Ten Championship, he is full force. He tells Ohio State football players, basically, any team can beat you anytime. So you have to play your best and move on to the next game. I don't think with the mindset of this football team of what Ohio State has this year with Wyatt Davis and Sean Wade opting back in, it could potentially be a trap game, but this is a different feel for me. Ohio State, the Buckeyes are just – they're that good, and they know their goals, and they know what their mindset is.
I agree. I mean, it's just like – it's just concerning. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it reminds me of a little bit of 2016 because we were going into that game. We were feeling good about the Buckeyes.
I did not feel good about that game.
Really?
Yeah. I think we were coming off a high of straight blowout games, and I just had going into that game, I had a bad feeling. I really did.
We were still laughing in the fourth quarter, even after they blocked the field goal, because we honestly thought JT Barrett was going to go down and score. I was not concerned. I literally became concerned when they started kneeling the balls. It sunk in for me, like, oh my god, we just lost this game.
Here's why I was concerned about that game. James Franklin was getting a lot of heat.
True.
And that's why I was concerned. But we have to move on.
We have to move on. So after good old Penn State, we have, I believe it's Rutger. I believe so, right? It's Rutger.
Rutger.
Yeah, good old Rutgers.
Here it is. These four games can go real quick, just to be honest with you. Home against Rutgers, at Maryland, home against Indiana, at Illinois.
Okay, yeah. So we'll just do – I mean, Rutgers, Maryland, win-win. So they knock those two out right there. There's no – like, the question is, do we score 100 on Rutgers? Probably not, just because we're going to be a little banged up, I think, from the Penn State game. I think we're going to, you know, just – our guys are going to be a little tired.
I think that game's 56-0.
It's 56-0, but the starters are out, like
– second quarter.
Mid-second quarter.
C.J. Stroud throws for four touchdowns.
Yeah, it's going to be a game like that. Maryland
– more of a tricky game because it's out in Maryland.
I mean, I don't see Tua's brother doing anything, though.
I think it's a four-touchdown win.
It's just like those two. I mean, if we're really going to sit here, like, I'm going to be honest, listeners, I don't want to waste your time. Like, if I don't want to waste your time and just like break it down, because let's be honest, it's going to be a massacre. Let's get on with our day. So moving on.
Indiana. We got
Indiana. That
so
one.
So we are right now, what, 4-0?
4-0.
Yeah. Indiana, like we said on Ohio versus Everyone podcast, this game, it's 5 o'clock. It's a 3:30 kickoff. Maybe an ESPN game.
And at 5:30, texting each other, yelling at each other.
Dave Pasch is doing the game with some random former quarterback from Alabama, not named Greg McElroy. And it's 27-17 Ohio State. And
it's 5:30, and we're looking
ready
around
to head into
the
5:30. Getting ready to go into the fourth quarter. Justin Fields still having a good day, but it's been like a lazy day, and the spread of that game would be 21, and it's only a 10-point spread. We win, but don't cover the spread type of game. Yeah, that's where I get out of the Indiana game.
I mean, like, it's – once again, Indiana should not beat us, but there's no denying
their quarterback's good. They got their quarterback's good.
Their quarterback, Michael Penix Jr. He's
good.
Probably a top four quarterback in the league. Stevie Scott, the third, very solid running back. Their tight end, Peyton Hendershot, he was good last year. He scored a touchdown against the Buckeyes. They have Wop Fillier, awesome name. I think he was a 1,000-yard receiver last year. So, like, he can play on defense. I mean, there isn't really anyone that scares me on their defense. But their offense.
Let me say, this game sounds like a 40, kind of like we did in 17. Sounds like and 18, a 42-21 victory.
28, maybe. Yeah, I agree. It's Indiana. It's going to be a little close for comfort. We're going to be a little – even last year. Even last year they played this decent until, like, Damon Arnett took it to the house and really broke it open. So,
I rewatched that game, actually, the other day, and it was the first quarter it was close, and that was about it.
Yeah, last year was probably an anomaly in that series, but it was – I don't know. That game's always close. So, I mean, I have my eye on that one. But like we mentioned, Indiana has not beaten Ohio State, I think, I mean, in my lifetime.
It hasn't beaten them since I've been born.
Yeah, so if that happens, I don't even know.
Now, the next game, Thanksgiving weekend, in Champaign, Illinois, the weather – this is another weather game.
Yeah. And – some weather games at the end of the schedule, actually, now that you bring that up.
The wind's always crazy there. You're going to see like 193 yards passing out of Justin Fields, but the Buckeyes are going to rack up like 400 yards rushing, and the Buckeyes win by like 56-7 or something like that.
So, like, Illinois last year, they looked a lot better. I think they won a bowl game.
Brandon Peters is not bad.
He's not. He's viable. Like, he's probably the best quarterback they've had in a while. They have the receiver Josh Amiter Beebe. I can't even. His name's crazy. He was a solid player, but that's really all they got. Look, I don't think a Michigan backup is going to light it up against the Buckeyes, but. Like you said, Cass, it is going to be a weather game because it's late November. That's the weekend that the Buckeyes should be playing that team up north, or it's the weekend after, I think, normally.
No, this is the week. This is Thanksgiving. Yeah, this is Thanksgiving weekend.
Okay, yeah, it is Thanksgiving. So we'll be playing that team up north that day. And, you know, like we've interviewed former Ohio State players – like TJ Downey, who's going to be on the show next episode. Really looking for that one. But like he said in previous episodes past, when we asked him, what was the coldest place you ever played? He said Champaign, Illinois was one of the coldest places he ever played. And it's really going to be happening at one of the latest points in the season, technically. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that affects Ohio State's passing game, how it affects their strategy, everything. How it affects the players. Is tackling going to be an issue? Are they going to be making business decisions because they don't want to get hit? Like, there's a lot of questions that are going to be have to be answered in these coming games, even the week after that when they play Michigan State. So it's, once again, I mean, the Buckeyes should probably win this one, like 49 to, like, I'll give them 17. 10.
I think the Buckeyes blow them out. I really do. I don't think it's going to be an issue. I think the only thing that's going to be an issue is the wind, if they're the weather. Speaking of weather games, it always scares me whenever we play this that team up North State before we play that team up North, Sparty. This game, we don't know. D'Antoni's gone. Lewerke's gone. They have a decent running back. So he's going to be a sophomore. This team is – I don't know. I really don't know what we're going to see out of Michigan State. I really don't know. I still think we win. I think this is a 3-touchdown victory game because I think Michigan State's going to struggle a lot this year, especially with, you know, getting their coach late. It's going to be a really, really weird year, especially for the Spartans. But I think the weather plays a factor again. But I still think we handle business up at East Lansing.
Michigan State had a lot of people leave. I mean, they haven't recruited well. That's no shock. It's kind of probably why
Cincinnati should not be able to recruit better than you.
Exactly. So I mean, that team's not very talented. They do have Elijah Collins. That's probably their best player, to be honest. The running back. He's probably by far their best player.
Is Stewart still on that team?
Stewart? No, he's gone.
Thank God, because I rewatched this game, and I just wanted to jump through the screen and punch him in the face.
Was that the receiver last year?
Number 25?
Yeah. He played a very good game, but he had a couple bad drops. But, yeah, he's gone. But like you said, we have no idea what to expect from Mel Tucker. So, I mean, they could have something up their sleeves. I don't know. I think it's just going to be such a big, like, building year for Michigan State. That's a game I honestly see, barring some weird, wacky collusion that might happen where, like, the Buckeyes just don't come to play. That's a game I think the Buckeyes should blow them out. Like, I think that's going to be a bigger blowout than the Illinois game. Because Michigan State is
in 2018 or yes. 17. Yeah,
exactly. Like 17. And it's not, they, like, I think Ohio State has learned not to take them lightly. Just, I think it's now circled and noted in this program. It's especially the week before that team up North too. Like, Ryan Day is going to have him laser focused in practice that week because next week is the week. So everything needs to be, like, perfect that week leading up to the next week. So I think we'll be okay. Moving on, though. the big one. Joe Milton's debut on the big stage. In this series, I guess. I mean, that team up North, like, they lost a lot. I mean, they lost their number one receiver. I believe Mayfield, their tackle, never opted back in, so he's gone. I actually have all their opt-outs. Yeah, Jalen Mayfield, Christian Turner, Ambry Thomas, and then Nico Collins.
Nico Collins is back. He's going to be wearing number one this year.
Did he really? They need to make a grid of all the opt-in, opt-outs. It's so confusing.
Yeah. Yeah. Quinn Nordine is still the kicker. But the thing is they're DBs. Darian Green Warren, their top corner, has not opted back in yet.
Yeah.
RJ Moten, another DB, has not opted back in. They still have Ronnie Bell.
And who's their leading receiver, by the way?
Yeah. Chris Evans is back. This still has Dylan McCaffrey on the football team too. So
yeah, it still has Dylan McCaffrey. I'm looking at our lads depth chart. It has Dylan McCaffrey. Yeah. That's wrong. But Joe Milton is their starter.
Yep.
They do
have Jalen Perry, DB. That's the thing. Jalen Perry is going to be the guy that's going to be covering Olave and Wilson. Quiddy Payne, he's a senior. He's back. He might give us some trouble.
This Don Brown defense is not like not that Ohio State's ever had an issue, I think, with a Don Brown defense since like 2016, the double overtime game.
This could be scary. Zach Charbonnet and Hassan Haskins.
That's what scares me the most. It's just that duo. And if they get Joe Milton running too, if they can establish the ground game, that's an issue for sure. I agree with that. But their line, they're so young, that offensive line. Zach Carpenter, he's a redshirt freshman. They have Ryan Hayes, their starting left tackle. He's a sophomore. They don't have Jalen Mayfield. So
either way, can their offense keep up with Ohio State's offense? Because this Don Brown defense, one, especially when they had all their guys, couldn't stop Ohio State. Now they're going to have to rely on so many young guys to play this veteran offense of Ohio State. Can their offense with Joe Milton and Zach Charbonnet and Hassan Haskins, Nico Collins, and Ronnie Bell keep up with this Ohio State offense? That's going to be the question that Michigan fans are going to want to hear. And if you watch it, listen to the Michigan podcast, that guy it's so funny because he says usually Ohio State smacks us around on Thanksgiving, and now we get a Christmas present and we get smacked around Ohio State. So it's the game, but this year it's weird. It's in the shoe, no fans, which I told my wife today, my prediction is, that'll be after the election. All these states are starting to, basically open back up and if COVID, numbers keep, trending down like they have, then you're going to see Ohio. You might see a little bit of fans by then.
You think? Is that your prediction?
I said you wouldn't see 105,000, but you may see 25,000.
I feel like, I think they would consider making the exception for that game. But I also heard some other theories. I heard today, why doesn't Michigan just try to contract COVID so they cancel the game and then hurt Ohio State in that way? Because it's like, oh, you didn't play, probably a 20th-ranked Michigan team and beat them by 50. So
let's put it this way. On the Michigan podcast I listened this morning, this dude straight up said, well, Michigan could possibly win 6 games. The reality, they'll probably only win 5. He's like, but I can also only see them win 4. Michigan fans do not have hope for this football team. And that's what kind of scares me. But in this year, I don't see it. I don't know what the victory size is going to be, but I don't see us losing at home.
And then, okay. So yeah, obviously we have Buckeyes running through their regular season 8-0 going into the coveted Big Ten championship game. I guess the week 9 of the Big Ten for that extra game that they're doing for everyone else, the participation trophy game. But who do the Buckeyes play? Because I think it's Minnesota.
I think it'd be Wisconsin. How about we do this? Next week, we obviously have TJ Downing. The week after that is the 15th. That's when we'll preview the other Big Ten schools and see who the Buckeyes play.
I like
We'll leave that mix in because I think Wisconsin, you think Minnesota, but that's still 2 weeks away, and we both could change our minds because could Iowa sneak in there?
No.
It's possible.
I don't think so. I don't see it this year. I think
– It could be a weird year.
It's going to be a weird year.
It could be a weird year. Think about it. Rondell Moore opted back in for Purdue.
I don't think that. unless Ohio State's playing a night game at Purdue in front of like 45,000 people again in a blackout, Rondell Moore's decision does not affect anything. I hate to say it. Like, it's going to be cool watching him this year a little bit, but it's not going to affect anything. Speaking of things being affected, though, what about this past weekend? Some crazy college football madness. Oklahoma goes down to Kansas State. Kansas State went down a week or two before to Arkansas State. So I think the Big 12 is done in the playoff race until further notice, other than maybe Texas. But Texas didn't look great either. They went to like overtime against Texas Tech. So they got their own issues.
Then DBU gets toasted for 635 yards
by KJ Costello, which is crazy because that guy was playing in a pro style offense where they really made him play conservative and really didn't let him open it up. And this man, you know, threw, I think, the most yards in SEC history in his first game in that Mike Leach offense against the defending national champs.
Florida.
Insane.
Florida looked average in the first half against Ole Miss.
Their defense did.
Georgia looked average against Arkansas.
Yeah. I will say this. Florida looked much better than Georgia if you're comparing both teams.
Oh, yeah.
Florida, I'll give Florida the credit. Their quarterback's great. Trask, I think he's really developed into a good player. And so has that tight end, Kyle Pickett, I believe his name is.
Yeah, Kyle Pickett.
Yeah, whatever the tight end is. He had like 4 touchdowns, like 8 catches, 4 touchdowns. Monster.
Miami blows out Florida State. And then, you know, Texas gets in a shootout with Texas Tech.
By the way, I like to be on this take before it happens. I think I've tweeted out. I think people are giving me smack about it. Miami's going to give Clemson a good game this year. Mark it down. I'm not saying they're going to beat them, but that's going to be a one possession game. Cause I really believe in De'Aaron King. I think he's not Ja'Cory Harris or like some random mid tier college quarterback. That guy literally was like the third best quarterback the year Haskins and Murray went to the Heisman ceremony. So he's a great player. They got Brevin Jordan, sick tight end, good running back core.
That's next week too, by the way.
Yeah, that's next week.
Miami at Clemson.
That's going to be a great game. Do not sleep on that. Look, the defense definitely needed some work. I think every defense needs some work, though, at this point in the season. But they got some players on that defense. There's no denying that. They had some good defensive ends, even though their number one, you know, defensive player opted out. That's going to be a good game, though. Mark it down.
Which leads to our next segment. We failed to do this in the past couple of weeks because Big Ten didn't have a season. They finally got a season. We've had guests and we'll have a guest next week and we can have fun with TJ Downing with this, but the annual arrogant Big Cass and Dan picks of the week are back.
Oh yes. I missed this. I always forget. Let's pull up the schedule. I forgot. What week is this in college?
Week five.
It feels like week zero still, but all right, let's go through it.
Bow, bow, bow. Let's just do a few.
Okay.
I've got one right here. South Carolina, high noon at Florida. Don't know the line for this game. But South Carolina always gives people fits. But this is in the swamp. Give me Florida big.
South Carolina looked horrible against Tennessee. They got mollywhopped by Tennessee. They have – the offense looked mediocre. The defense, terrible. If you don't have a defense – and this is – Will Muschamp's supposed to be a defensive guru. And they got mollywhopped by Jarrett Guantanamo or whatever. Jarrett Guantanamo Bay, whatever, from Tennessee. All right. He – and that Tennessee offense went to town on that defense. Kyle Trask and Kyle Pickett are going to go off. So give me Florida.
TCU at Texas. Big noon kickoff. TCU, I don't know about TCU. I don't know what they're all about. Texas just got in a shootout. This screams another shootout. Actually, you know what? This screams, let me see. Okay, TCU's lost 37-34 to Iowa State. This screams Texas blowout just because people are giving Texas a lot of crap for being in a shootout with Texas Tech. I'm looking at a maybe 42-14 victory or 42-21 victory over TCU.
Yeah, the TCU is just not the same anymore. I think Texas bounces back. I agree. I got one for us. Give me the big one of the week. Auburn, Georgia, number 7 Auburn versus number 4 Georgia. I know who I'm taking.
I got Georgia at home. I don't see enough out of I don't know. This one's a toss up.
Big I got rivalry. Auburn.
I got Auburn. Yeah, you know what? I'll take Auburn too. Here's the thing. Georgia don't know, can't figure out their quarterback situation.
Exactly. Exactly, Cass. That's what I'm saying. Like DeJuan Mathis played pretty bad. Like, he got benched. So, Auburn, I mean, look, Bo Nix isn't the world's greatest quarterback, but he – at least he is established. He's beaten Bama. I don't think they're fearing Georgia at all. I got Auburn in this one. I think they'll win by – I honestly think they win by at least 10 points.
All right. The other big one, 3:30 on CBS, Texas A&M travels to Tuscaloosa. You can't really make out on how good Alabama is playing a bad Mizzou team. So we get to see what Alabama is all about against Texas A&M. But
do we, though? Do we? It's like Texas A&M is not – we need to make this clear. Texas A&M is not the number 13th best team in the country. This is the standard every year. Texas A&M is ranked incredibly high for no reason. They have no reason of even being that high. They're going to go, you know, the equivalent of 8-4 this season, maybe finish just right outside or in the top 25, and then the cycle repeats itself. I think Alabama wins by 35.
I'm going Alabama wins by 20.
Alabama really impressed me. Watching them, they got Mac
they played
Jones.
Mizzou.
I know they did, but they're good. Like, you look at everyone who returned.
I'm not saying they're not good. I'm just saying they played Mizzou.
Harris is a good back. They got Waddle. They got D. Smith, the receiver. Mac Jones is a good quarterback. Even their backup, Bryce Young, he's arguably he would probably be a starter anywhere else in the country. I like Bama this year. I think they're a very good team.
I did too. They really don't get tested at all this year until they play Auburn.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and I'm going to, bold prediction. I'm adding bold prediction, meaning like biggest, I wouldn't say biggest upset. I would say, how would you word this? Inconsiderate picks. Is that how I did this?
Like inconsequential, like just yeah. like picks. All right, man.
I am picking Jacksonville State to beat Florida State. That is my dumb. That's what I call it, dumb pick of the week. Jacksonville State beating Florida State.
I have a pick.
Florida State is bad. Very, very bad.
I actually have a pick. If you want to go with dumb, stupid picks.
Yes.
Give me Tulsa over at UCF. Give me Tulsa.
Over the best team in Florida, according to Fox Sports Bowl.
Yeah, give me Oklahoma greater than Florida, I guess. But Tulsa, I mean, I don't know if it was just Oklahoma State is bad or Tulsa is good on defense. I don't know. But their quarterback's solid, Zach Smith. His name is literally Zach Smith. So, and he was actually a pretty good career starter. His whole started at Baylor, played pretty well against Oklahoma State. So, I mean, after just seeing him play, I gotta go with Zach Smith just taking down UCF. I mean, don't get me wrong, UCF's a good team, but I mean, they played Georgia Tech, and they played East Carolina. I don't know if I'm sold on that. They gave up 21 points to Georgia Tech, and Georgia Tech barely beat Florida State. And Florida State's probably the most boo-butt team in the nation right now. And like, it, just kind of looking at it, I'm not super impressed by UCF. I think they get just a little overhyped. So I got Tulsa pulling off the upset.
All right, and then sneaky good game, what could be a good game to actually kind of sit down and watch. I mean, Memphis at SMU.
That's going to be a good one. I think I'm going to circle it. It intrigues me. It's just Virginia versus Clemson, just a rematch of the ACC title game.
I think Ole Miss at Kentucky could be a decent one too.
Yeah. Yeah, those are some good. I mean, those are some games to just keep in the back of your mind. Don't have your when you're setting your channel, you're setting your TV. You have your two games usually. You have the one and one A and one B, and you hit last and you go back and forth. I'm not saying to put those on as one of those, but like have them know the channel. Know like when you know if you get a little ticker at the bottom.
Find out when they're on halftime. If your game was on halftime and they're not on halftime, just flip it over.
Agreed.
So, yeah, it just sucks still not seeing the Big Ten out there playing yet. Wyatt Davis, Sean Wade got cleared to play, come return and play. For the Buckeyes, that's huge. Clemson's backup running back enters the transfer portal. That's one thing I love about Ohio State is no one entered the transfer portal, and the two guys opted back in. That's why this Buckeye team, I can't wait till October 24th. I really can't.
I can't either. I mean, as we
– Michael
we
kinda, Jordan more days.
I know. As we kind of wind down the show here, I just want to make one more thing. If you're listening, do not fall for the Jalen Marshall scam. Do not fall for it. I am a victim. I tried filing a police report, all right? I'm like, if you're listening, whoever scammed me, I'm going to find you. I'm going to find you.
Did you get your money back?
I spoke to Chase. They debited me. Well, they credited me, and they're doing an investigation. And as I filed a police report. So, and thank you for Shelly Meyer for reporting it. She confirmed she did alert the OSU, but just need to spread the word. Whoever hacked Jalen Marshall's account, I'm coming for you, man. I'm coming, man. You're done. Because there is at least like 30 other people he got. He got probably a couple $1,000 from Buckeye Nation. Like, it was bad. And I'm mad, like, and I'm petty. So, like, I'm going to find this guy and I'm going to bring him to justice.
shout out to Julian Fleming. was the latest Buckeye to lose his black stripe, which I'm surprised no one else really has lately.
Ty Hamilton did too.
Yeah, Ty Hamilton.
Which we were talking about last week with Chugs. Chugs was right about Julian Fleming. He was going to be the next one or two. Julian was number two, but no one saw Ty Hamilton losing his stripe that early. But that's awesome to hear. I mean, obviously, if Ty Hamilton lost his stripe, they're expecting big things out of that young man. And, I mean, his brother, Devon, was a great player. So, hopefully, Ty can follow in his footsteps, which I'm sure he will.
Oh, and speaking of which, before we go off, since it's number 23 more days to go, happy birthday to Marcus Hooker. Could be potentially the starting safety for the Ohio State Buckeyes. So happy birthday to Marcus Hooker.
Happy birthday, Marcus. So that does it for another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.